Yes, that flash of fire when Mystery Babylon and the Edomites and the tares get bundled and burned. Boy, it's going to be a bright flame,
Amen.
Folks.
Praise
Welcome.
Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Eli James, along with Pastor Greg Howard. And this is Yahweh's Covenant People for January 20th, 2017. And praise Yahweh, Pastor Greg, we do not have a Negro occupying the White House anymore, right?
You know, I wonder how much work it took to get the smelly funk of that race right? out of the White House, honestly. Yeah. You know, the media's covered up for that dark denizen for 8 years, and I bet you they had to come in and do some serious steam cleaning.
Yeah, right.
Who knows what really went on in there? Obviously, the media didn't cover what really went on. That's for sure. And they're looking to hang Donald Trump at the slightest whatever.
Yeah.
Obama had a free pass for 8 years. And I put no trust in politics, Eli. I don't trust Donald Trump to save our nation. But I got to admit, and I spent a few hours today. I had the afternoon free. I was watching the inauguration on TV. I was switching to various channels, listening to the various Jewish, you know, talking heads put their spin on it. And, you know, they were trying at every opportunity to bring it down, to put a negative spin on it. The highlight of the day was when they put the camera on Hillary, and Hillary's face looked like
wax.
She just had a knife twisted in her guts.
Right.
I feasted off it, brother.
Yeah, right.
You could serve me the best whiskey on the planet, and my face wouldn't light up anymore.
Right.
By the way, I like whiskey. I would not. I am watching Hillary's glum face. Was just amazing. And, of course, Chuck Schumer with that hook nose and those glasses hovering around. I don't know. What a time we're living in.
Yes.
The world is upside down, brother. Praise Yahweh, we're awake. We understand what's going on. The white race is clearly trying to wake up. Donald Trump, is he a savior or not? You know, who knows? Maybe, maybe not. I have no trust in politics, but I believe deep down he's the man of the hour. I voted for him, and I haven't voted in years because I wasn't interested to vote for anybody, but I voted for him. And we'll see how it plays out, you know?
Yeah. Well, one thing's for sure, 2017 is going to be an interesting year. And
I know one thing, brother.
Very violent, too.
Christian identity is the true Christianity religion on the planet. Everything
Amen.
Else is a false offshoot of it. You know, universalism. You know, they had a Jew. I don't know. You didn't get to see it today. I watched it. They had a rabbi pray. They had a Muslim, whatever the hell those guys call themselves. He got up and said some Muslim thing. They had the son of Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, got up and prayed. And I actually give that guy credit. He prayed a good Christian-only exclusivity prayer. Of
really?
Course, he doesn't see what we see. But compared to what everybody else sputtered out, you know, I'd give him the trophy for the prayers.
Okay.
I wouldn't have ever had a Jew darken my inauguration, but
right.
We live in the age of diversity, so every base had to be covered. I get that. But, you know, we are in a unique position where we are the group on the earth that actually understands what Christianity is all about, that it is the religion for the white man and the white man only, and other races can maybe touch their finger on it and get a blessing, certain races, not the Jews. But it's the religion of the white man. Yahshua Christ was a white man, an Aryan man. If he was out on the beach, he'd get a sunburn in 30 minutes, just like me.
Yeah.
He was white. And we have this understanding that's going to help us through these trying times that are clearly approaching with massive rapidity. They're on top of us. Because the powers that be have allayed themselves against Trump. Today was an amazing example of how much power the other races have gained against us. And the Jews have gained against us. They're unleashing their forces against us.
And
against Trump. And against everything that's right. What a fascinating year 2017 is going to be.
Yeah. Yes.
Incredible.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, it's going to be a very long, very hot summer. And you know that the violence being committed by the blacks in their ghettos is just going to get worse, and outside their ghettos. You know, it's just the, what do you call it, the summer season of state fairs, county fairs.
And, yeah, absolutely. And I would
encourage they're going to go ape is what they're going to do. Right?
Brother, that's a very racist statement.
Yeah.
I got to admit.
Oh,
I love
that
statement because I'm very much
offend.
A racist.
Yeah, right. Very
By
good.
That, I mean, I love my race.
Amen.
I wake up every morning and look in the mirror and see a white face. And I just rejoice. I go, thank God.
Yeah, right.
Thank Yahweh. I don't like the term God, by the way.
Yeah.
I like the term Yahweh. I give praise to Yahweh that I was born into the white
man,
race.
Yeah, man, you're so opinionated, Greg.
Brother, I just speak it like it is. You get to a certain age, you don't care. Yeah. If I offend people now, I get off on it.
Right.
You're offended that I said nigger?
Yeah.
Well, I tell a couple nigger jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't help it.
But
I don't care.
By the time
you
you're done, even
age, you don't care.
Right. You know? By the time you're done, even the niggers will be laughing at your jokes. Right?
I mean, the other day I was talking to this guy and I said, I don't remember how it came up, but I said, you know, what does a nigger give his kid for Christmas? And he looked at me like, oh, you said nigger. I go, what does a nigger give his kid for Christmas? I go, your bike. And he looked at me like I was the biggest bigot racist.
Right.
On the entire planet, and I may well be that. And if I am, then I rejoice in it.
He may have seen Adolf Hitler standing right before him, right? Oh, man.
Would that I would have known
that's
that, brother.
That's funny, right?
I'm currently reading through Mein Kampf for about the third time.
Oh, wow.
And what a spectacular... Uh-huh. He was one of the greatest white men that has lived in the last...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
...thousands of years. A true genius, well beyond Trump. At least, I take that back. I'm sorry I said that. I think we're going to see what Trump is made of. Trump may well be the next white. What's the right word, brother? Help me.
Well,
the next white bulwark.
White thing.
Right. The next. Okay. He might be the next. By the way, Hitler.
White man's
forget
hope,
everything.
Right.
Forget everything we've ever been taught about him in school.
Right.
He was
great
the
white hope.
He, in my opinion, there's been a handful of amazingly great white men on the planet. Let's trace it back. Let's start back with the incarnation of Yahshua Christ. Obviously, amazing white men lived on the earth before then. Adam, an amazing white man.
Uh-huh.
Noah, spectacular white man. Enoch, oh my gosh, 10 out of 10. Noah,
right.
10 out of 10. You know, and then you go through the patriarchs, you go through the prophets, you go through Daniel, you go through Jeremiah. These were all Aryan men, amazing men, superstars. Then you came to Yahshua Christ, then the disciples, and then it kind of goes silent, you know.
There were
some church elders.
Went south.
Then you,
right.
Then you come to Martin Luther, an amazing man.
Oh, yeah. That was a good upspike. That was an upspike, yeah.
Then you come to Adolf Hitler.
Yeah,
Adolf Hitler is in the Hall of Fame of white men.
Right.
Without a doubt.
Yes.
And if you're going to call your shot right now, you'd put Donald Trump in there. He has yet to prove it, but he's in a position now to prove it.
Yes.
It worries me how many Jews surround him and how many Jews oppose him. But we'll see. He clearly marches to his own drum. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if it keeps any of his campaign promises. Obviously, Barack Obama did not. Okay, and he was just a complete, absolute failure, and never qualified to be in the White House anyway. Okay, but be that as it may, it's going to be very interesting to see what kind of early moves he makes. We'll pray to Yahweh that he keeps his promises. He keeps his
amen to that, brother. Let me ask you one quick question. Michelle Obama, male or female?
Male.
I totally agree.
Yeah, male. Yeah, the two girls that were not the children of Barack and Michael. They're lone children from another black couple in Chicago. I forget
who knows where they came from.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, originally they didn't come from Chicago. They came from Africa, right? That's the part of town we call Chicago, right?
Yep.
Yep. All right, so let's get back. This is part two of the Wikipedia page on Christian identity. And so just anybody just wants to follow along, just go to wikipedia.org/Christian identity. Or just type Christian identity into your browser, and I'm sure this will pop up in probably your first 10 search items. And last time we concluded with the tenets that they went through. And today we're going to go through the origins, or what they claim are the origins of Christian identity. And we'll just pick and choose random sentences from each heading they have under origins, you know, leading to the end of the article. And it begins
Brother,
by
even
saying,
before you yeah. say that, let me just mm-hmm. say a word, what you and I discussed earlier.
Okay.
Where, and I saw it very much today, listening to the various Jewish talking heads discussing the Trump speech, the Trump inauguration, the Trump campaign. Jews love to define our message.
That's right.
They do not right. want us to define what we believe.
Yeah.
What, you know, what our tenets of faith are. They want to define what we believe. I still remember my ex-wife, and Christian identity cost me my marriage. I mm-hmm. still remember my ex-wife going, I looked up online what it is you believe, and it's, you know, you're just a total hater. I still remember her. I'm like, so you read the Jewish version
yeah.
of what it is that I believe, you know, and, you know, it's a long story, and I'm not going to get into it, but
yeah.
they love to define what right. it is that we believe.
Well, as long
people
as
ask me all
media.
The time,
yeah,
Greg, are you a hater? I go, yes, I am actually.
Yeah.
I hate Jews.
Yeah,
the right. other races annoy me, but Jews, right. I'll be very honest, I hate Jews because right. they are the race of satanic beings that have literally ruined Yahweh's creation from the time probably well before the Garden of Eden
right.
to the current moment. And this is biblically documented, and the Apocrypha, which we have gone through. And, brother, I think we're almost ready to literally yeah. start over and go through all those books again, because we barely squeezed a few drops out of that soaked yeah. sponge of truth. There's right. so much truth in Enoch, in Baruch, in the book of 2nd Ezra is yeah, unbelievable.
Right. Yeah.
But the Apocalypse of Baruch is the most racial book I have ever seen.
Yeah.
It
right.
breaks it down. But the satanic race on this planet, the Jews, have just ruined this planet from day one. From the time the angels yeah. came down to earth and had sex with white women and spawned satanic beings that eventually spawned into the race of Jews, and they're still with us today. And Chuck Schumer, to me, is the perfect example, as he was hovering around Trump today, just like a fallen angel with his
yeah,
wicked
right.
wings. I was waiting for a Secret Service right. agent to, you know, a true white Secret Service agent to just go, you know, yeah. I'm going to take one for the yeah. team, and I'm going to pull out, and I'm not going to say anymore because I don't want to get in trouble, but I think yeah. everyone knows where I'm going.
right.
These evil, satanic, Luciferian creatures are just, they've got to go.
Yeah.
There's no negotiating with them. There's no compromising. They are the devil's children on the earth. They are the tares. The tares have been planted among the wheat. And soon
Amen.
Enough, the messengers, the angels, will come and bind them into bundles and burn them. And Obadiah tells us we'll get to fire them up ourselves. The angels will probably go, hey, Eli, Greg, Pastor Steve, some other brothers, get over here, you know,
yeah.
fire up these bundles of Jews. And I hope I get a bundle with Chuck Schumer in it.
Yeah, there you go.
And I want Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah.
I want Diane Feinstein
and Barbara Big Nose. What's her name?
Who's that other fat little...
Oh, that Rosie O'Donnell, Jewish. She's Irish. She's Irish, but she might as well be Jewish.
No, I'm thinking the one on the Supreme Court. Elena Kagan.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
I want her. I want her, too. I want her.
Make torches.
I want Bill Maher.
Tear torches, right?
I'll get in a fight over. I want Wolf Blitzer. I'll fight over that one. I want Wolf. I'll share him. But I want to fire that bundle right. up myself, personally.
Yeah.
I want to light that match.
Amen.
I want to see that slope forehead, those beady little kike slope nose. I want that one for
myself.
Crooked
teeth. Those crooked teeth, right?
I'm calling my shot right now. Right. I want that one.
Very good. We will. We're going to see that day, brother. We're going to see that day, all right?
I believe we will. Amen.
Yes, we will.
If we don't see it, the Bible's a lie.
Yeah.
We've been promised it.
Yes.
They will be ashes under our feet. We will kindle the fires. If we don't get to participate, then there's untruth in the Scriptures.
Well,
we will get to see it.
It'll be anticlimactic.
Certain of it.
Right?
We're not going to just sit back and be spectators.
Yeah.
We will participate.
Yes. Amen. Okay, origins. We're going to scroll down to origins. Again, this is wikipedia.org, Christian Identity. And it says, the Christian Identity movement emerged in the United States in the 1920s and 30s as an offshoot of sect of British Israelism. And that's pretty much an accurate statement. The idea that lower races are mentioned in the Bible in contrast to Aryans was posited in the 1905 book Theozoology, or The Science of the Sodomite Apelings and the Divine Electron by Jörg Lanz von Liebenfels, a folkish writer seen by many historians as a major influence on Nazism. Hitler, however, did not subscribe to the belief that the Israelites of the Bible were Aryans. In the speech he gave in Munich in 1920 titled Why Are We Anti-Semites?, he referred to and disparaged Abraham as racially Jewish. Okay, well, obviously Hitler wasn't privy to Christian Identity teaching. You know, it's too bad.
Brother, who knows what he really knew? I mean, the true history of Germany and of Hitler has been so subverted.
Yes.
Who knows what he really saw? He says some things in Mein Kampf that bring me to tears when I read it. I don't have my copy. Well, actually, it's sitting over there. But he said some things. He was Christian. He believed in Yahshua Christ.
Yes.
He understood the place of our race on the planet. He felt he was on a divine mission, not to conquer the world.
Yeah.
I have to be careful. I don't swear.
The Jews have so
defined what he believed that we're all almost in our minds corrupted. He wanted to preserve his own people preserve his own nation.
Yeah.
And he understood the value of the white race. He never wanted to go to war with America. He never wanted to go to war with the British people. He understood they were his blood brethren.
That's right.
The problem was the Jews had gained so much power by that time. It wasn't quite as manifest as it is now. But if you remember, when they founded the Federal Reserve in the United States in 1913, they became multi-billionaires almost overnight. And so they founded the Federal Reserve in 1913. And by the way, they already had many, 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 many billions and possibly trillions of dollars through the British, you know, subversion of the British financial system.
Sure.
They had unlimited wealth.
Amen.
So, of course, you only wonder what they have now. But, you know, in the, you know, say early to mid-1930s, when he began to rise to power and the German people began to embrace him, and they realized this is a threat to us. He is preaching the truth about who we are. He saw it clearly as any man has probably ever seen it in the last few centuries. They were scared to death of him, and they marshaled their power against him. And I believe we are seeing the same marshaling of power against Trump in a similar kind of way. Not quite as overt, but they are marshaling their powers against Trump. Did you see the CNN piece or hear of it where they discussed, oh, if Trump was killed in the middle of his being sworn in, Obama would get to put in. They actually discussed the assassination of this guy.
Wow, on CNN?
Oh, CNN, yeah, Wolf Blitzer.
Wow.
I mean, it was a wet dream. It was a Jewish wet dream that Trump would be killed. And Obama would go, oh, what's going on? Oh, Trump and Pence just got slaughtered by a drone bomb.
Right.
And I guess I have to appoint somebody.
Yeah.
You know,
Hillary.
CNN was doing stories like this. This is the Jew in action.
That's right.
They bring disorder. They bring confusion. They bring anarchy. And then they offer a Jewish solution. Yeah. This is their pattern throughout history.
Yeah. To wish somebody would be dead, I guess that's not hate speech.
I mean, I never get past the verse in Genesis. The beast of the field, or the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field.
Amen.
Brother,
yes.
They are still more subtle than any beast of the field. They bring trouble to us. They bring destruction. They bring anarchy. If we just laid it all out, they hate us. If Yahweh allowed it in the heath, thankfully he does not, they would kill us all. They would just unleash their death squads upon all of us. They'd probably save a few of our women for breeding purposes. You know, they've got the Negroes to do the manual labor. They hate us. Yet Yahweh has preserved us to this present crazy, insane moment. And according to these apocryphal books that we've gone through, it is going to get nuts in the coming days. Oh, yeah. I don't think we've begun to see the confusion and craziness that's been prophesied. I think we're in there. I think Trump is
very
possibly
early stage.
The introduction of the time, because they're not going to lay down and let him do his thing. Not a chance. They are just going to declare war, just like they declared war against Hitler in the early 30s when he began to understand the rule of Jewry in Germany. They are going to do the exact same thing now. They're going to declare war against Trump, against the white race. It's going to get nuts in the coming days, years, months, possibly, you know, I don't know how long. But they will not let this man succeed without the fight of their satanic lives.
Yeah, right.
I give you my word and promise it, because their history, it just repeats itself. No white man will be allowed to succeed. And Trump, you know, what a... It's today was literally the first day in a long time I've actually sat down and watched a political anything on TV. I watched it. I watched this man get up. It was touching.
Yeah. Go
ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah, I watched the election because it's funny seeing all of the liberals cringe. Right? That was great. I loved it. Yeah. But as you saw, witness today. The left cringing and the Jews cringing. That's very good.
And Chuck Schumer hovering with those little reading glasses, you know, sliding down that ski slope of a nose.
Yeah.
You know, he's always going to be hanging around. He's literally the serpent in the garden.
Oh, yeah.
He's the one coming to Eve and going, hey, you know, Adam is, where's Adam? He's not here. Well, let me show you something that you're really going to like. I mean, he is the devil's child.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, there's many of them, but he's the epitome of it to me in the political world, Chuck Schumer.
Yes.
I live in New York, so I'm intimately aware of that guy.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
The two state senators here, and he's the senior senator. He's so entrenched, you couldn't pry that Jew out with a greased crowbar. He ain't going anywhere.
Yeah,
He'll get reelected in this state as long as he wants to be elected.
Right. Yeah. Well, New York. All right. Relation to British Israelism, that is talking about Christian identity. Paradoxically, while early British Israelites such as Edward Hine and John Wilson were Philo-Semites, of course, this article never ceases to suggest that Jews are Semites. Right? It takes it for granted. And from what I see in the article, never mentions the fact that we do not accept Jews as Shemites. Okay?
Of course not.
Never mentions that. All right?
We're the truth. We're the
That's right.
They've twisted the conversation and, you know, laid out how they want things to be perceived. We're the children of Shem.
Right. But this is a glaring omission. Yes.
Noah was a white man. His children were white.
Well, see, it can't be allowed for any reader of this article to get the idea that Jews aren't Shemites, or that they're not Israelites, or they're not Hebrews, for that matter. Okay, certainly not Adamites. Okay, but they get into that. They get into that in great detail. That we don't consider Jews to be Adamites. Okay, So he continues. Christian identity emerged in sharp contrast as a strongly anti-Jewish, I'm not going to use Semitic because that's bad terminology, anti-Jewish theology. The Anti-Defamation League describes the emergence of Christian identity from British Israel as an ugly turn. Uh-oh. Hmm. Oh, you mean truth? Truth, I guess truth hurts. Truth hurts, folks.
Know, yeah.
Yeah.
Eli, I would argue that what we call Christian identity did not emerge in the last 100 years or whatever, you know, year the Jew would care to put on it. Christian identity has never actually not existed. You know, Christian identity in the time of Christ was just plain obvious observation. Yahshua Christ was a white man. His disciples were all white, except there was this one disciple that seemed a little kind of swarthy, had a kind of a hooked nose, right. Kind of carried the money most of the time.
Right.
You know, I don't know how he snuck in.
He was a thief, right?
I think his nickname was Chucky Schumer.
Right.
Chucky Schumer, the Jewish disciple, right. You know, from Iscariot. And somehow a Jew always finds a way to worm their way into a group of whites. But, brother, Christian identity has existed since our race and our religion has existed. Well, it has never ceased to exist.
Yeah, that's
maybe
correct.
What has ceased to exist is our people's realization of the truth has come and gone a little bit.
Yeah.
But the true religion of the white man and Yahweh's son on the earth has never ceased to exist. And that's, just our understanding of it comes and goes a little bit because our people, one, we are, I would put the blame on us first. We are prone to wander. We are weak. We are prone to wander. If prosperity comes our way, we just blow off Yahweh in about 2 seconds. But the Jew also leads us down the path of distraction by 100 different ways, and more so now than ever. Look at the distractions. I mean, I don't know how many people listen to this show, but if I could have a show of hands, and you can be honest, how many people are going to watch some of these football games coming up this weekend? And I'll be honest, I'm probably going to watch a little bit. You know, the Jew has created
all the quarterbacks are white.
Yeah, I mean, the blacks, the defensive schemes are far too complicated for the Negro quarterbacks.
Right.
I mean, if you give a Negro a ball and go, Jamal, listen, I'm going to give you the ball. You got to run down the field, 80 yard. Just run by everybody. They can handle that.
Yeah,
but
right.
To be able to understand all the complicated defensive schemes, forget what they tell us. The Negroes, their minds, they can think about one thing at a time. You know?
Yeah, right. I was thinking about raping some white woman. That's right.
Well, I was gonna
they can't
say,
concentrate
if it's
on the game.
Sex, you know,
right.
They can temporarily divert their mind to running.
Yeah, right.
I'm always amused by all these Negro coaches. When a football team has a Negro coach, I think, you put a Negro in charge of your football team? Really?
Yeah.
Cracks me up.
Right. Okay. After the ugly turn, according to the ADL, what are they quoting here? Once on American shores, okay, this is an ADL statement. Once on American shores, British Israelism began to evolve. Originally, believers viewed contemporary Jews as descendants of those ancient Israelites who had never been lost. Now, this idea, even Martin Luther believed that the Jews were originally the Judah of the Old Testament, but he understood that there is something really wrong with Jews, right?
Well, he saw it all except for the true concept of the satanic seed line, introduced through
Eve.
I don't think he saw the seduction of Eve through a fallen angel and a satanic race planted on the earth. But you can't hold that against him.
No,
I mean,
no,
brother. I'll just tell you right now. I would never, ever, ever, ever have seen it if people that saw way more than me hadn't seen it before me and written it down and broken it down into very basic units, where when I came across their writings, I thought, ooh, I see it. I wouldn't even call it some great revelation. I just read the great revelation of like Bertram Comparé and other great brothers who were way smarter theologically than myself, but Yahweh gave me an open mind and an open heart, and I read their writings and saw it. Mm-hmm. And I realized it instantly. There is a race of satanic beings on the earth.
That's for
sure. And it came through Eve, and Cain was the origination, and Cain's people have reproduced up until the current time. And that's why there is truly a race of terrors on the earth. There is a race on the earth of satanic creatures.
Yeah, terrors and terrorists. Same breed. Same breed,
folks. There's a race. There's Satan... had children. The fallen angels, the reproduction of them has continued to this very day. It hasn't been dealt with yet.
That's right. Absolutely. And that's, of course,
why the world is a disaster.
Yeah.
They look at Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer, to me, is the epitome of a Luciferian being. I looked at him today. He was hovering around Trump with his hook nose and is just rubbing his hands together. And I'm looking at him and I'm going, the devil has children.
That's right.
There he is. He will fight Trump at every possible angle.
Yeah, he sure will. Yeah.
Yeah, brother Herbert goes, I started with Comparé. So did I. That was my introduction to Christian identity. It was Bertram Comparé.
Yes.
Tell you what, I still listen to him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he didn't see everything, but what he saw for his time, I would never, ever have seen 10% of it.
Yeah.
He was the man.
It's real Bible study. Real Bible study. Yeah. Yeah, and actually, and to your point that you were making a little earlier, there have always been a hardcore, racially segregated group of white Christians who believed that they should stay white and segregated, and that Christianity is the religion of the white man. Fact is, the Boer people are such a group. You know, they left Europe knowing that they were Israel, and they rejected Roman Catholicism, they rejected Protestantism, and they rejected Freemasonry and the Jews.
Right? Amen.
Okay? And so there's always been that hardcore among us throughout history, okay? But even the Amish and to some extent the Mennonites, who are white people who keep to themselves without practicing race mixing at all, and they're Christians. So
go ahead.
They're de facto
maybe don't
identity.
Even understand the racial aspect so much as they just have a sense to stay amongst themselves and not allow outsiders in.
That's
and
right.
Especially racial outsiders.
Yeah.
And that's why Christian identity, as defined by the ADL and other, you know, so-called hate group monitors, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center, they define us as a hate group because we've come to the realization that we are the divine race on the earth and that it is commanded by the creator of the universe for us to remain racially pure within ourselves. Our sons are not to date or, you know, marry the daughters of other races. Certainly our daughters are not to be with males of another race. We want to stay and mate and have children within our own race. And we are condemned for that. And that is just pure insanity. You know, brother, I'm 61 years old and I'm a white man. And I realize, for better, for worse, I had nothing to do with it, but thousands of years of my racial history, my ancestors remained racially pure.
Yes.
And amen. I have come to the realization, I may well know more than them. Maybe they were way beyond me. I don't know. But I realize I won't ever, ever, ever have a child with a woman of another race. I don't care if she's considered attractive. It would be an abomination to Yahweh for me to have a child with a woman of another race.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I would spit in the face of the creator of the universe to do such a thing.
Right.
He has commanded
A Jew would ask you to do such a thing.
He has commanded me not to do that.
That's right.
And I have four children, two sons, two daughters. I have literally commanded them that you will never, under any circumstances ever, ever be with someone of another race.
You will never
marry them. You will never even date them. If you happen to do that, apart from my wishes, and you have a child with them, I will cut you off from my life forever. Mm-hmm. We are done.
Yeah.
You have made a choice that, to me, is spitting in the face of the person that brought you into this
genocide.
World.
That's right.
You will never, ever, ever do that. And
very
if
good.
You do that, I will never want to see you, hear you, speak to you again for all of this life. I have said that to them.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And they looked at me like I was some kind of crazy lunatic.
Right?
But I wanted my wishes to be known.
Mm-hmm.
So they realized the importance of understanding. They may never see what I see. Yahweh has shown me a lot, and I'm thankful for it. They don't need to see what I see. They just need to realize that their father has laid down a law.
Right.
And that if they even look at someone of another race in a loving way, I will cut them off.
Even curious.
The rest of their lives.
Even curious way. Right. Yes.
I don't
very
even
good.
Want them to have friends of another race.
Right. Yeah. Well, we're not supposed to have any intercourse with them at all, even social. Okay. We're not to have any social intercourse.
And you know what's
them.
Great? You know, I don't hate the other races apart from Jews. Jews I hate.
Yeah.
The other races, I just want, I want to be
out,
separated. I want them separated from me. They are animals to me. Get away from me. My children with your children, not in a billion years.
Yes.
Will never happen. And
very good.
I just let it known to my children that this is how it is. And whatever you think of me. But that's how it is. So you make your choice. And I hope I've raised you right. And so far, so good.
Yes. Well, the ADL statement continues, Jews might be seen critically, but given their significant role in the British-Israel genealogical scheme, not usually with animosity. I don't know how significant it was in the early days. You know, we're talking about mid-1850s. That I don't think Jews were prominent in the movement at all. I think Jews
that was,
just...
Yeah, that was the... Just they were starting to infiltrate over here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Mid to late 1800s, they begin to arrive. They begin to network. You know, they begin to establish themselves. And, you know, the ghettos, you know, they kind of, they hang together. They network.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
And, well, it's an interesting question because if, in fact, the British Israelites viewed Jews as of their own race, then why didn't the why wasn't there that much intermarriage between Jews and British Israel Christians? Very little, okay?
Yeah,
because it's obvious. You just look at them; they're different. They're different. They're not the same race.
Well, they were establishing the hive in the the mid to late 1800s. They had targeted the United States.
Oh yeah.
They realized this is the country we must control. You know, this is the new world. You know, let's face it, by that time they pretty much had their tentacles all over Europe.
Yes.
You know,
well, it goes back to the Civil War when the Rothschilds deliberately created the Civil War to make sure our economy, our Republican form of government without Jew bankers could not survive, right? And then it took them another so from 1865 to 1913 to finally get their economic clause in our government. It took them that long, right? But they did. Okay.
In 1913 was when the knife was stuck into the chest of the United States. Federal Reserve was created. The ADL was created in 1913.
Yes.
And the federal income tax was created in 1913. It was a Jewish triumph of all three of those.
Amen.
And, you know, we have never been the same since. And, you know, whether Trump has the guts, he's never even given a hint that he would do it. If he wanted me to be 100% behind him, he would come out and say, I've decided to follow the Constitution and abolish the Federal Reserve Bank, and our government will begin now issuing our own currency at
Amen.
No interest.
Oh, man,
now,
that would be today.
He would probably, hopefully, be surrounded by the most security that you can imagine because he would become an assassination target instantaneously by making such a statement.
Yeah. They would
we'll
find,
see how it plays out.
Yeah. They would immediately find a Lee Harvey Oswald or a John Wilkes Booth or a James Earl Ray or somebody, you know, to do the deed.
Yeah.
Okay, they will, and most, and of course, John Wilkes Booth was Jewish. Although Lee Harvey Oswald was not, they hired a Jew to kill Oswald so he couldn't testify. Right?
That's right.
Because he said, I was a patsy. And the Jews didn't want him to say that publicly. Right? Right? Okay, yeah. By the 1930s, however, in the U.S., a strain of, I'm going to call it anti-Edomism, because it's not they're not Semites. So we're opposed to the Edomites, not opposed to Shemites. A strain of anti-Edomism started to permeate the movement, though some maintained traditional beliefs, not with an identity. No, Christian identity has always been anti-Jewish. It's been Jew-savvy from the very beginning. And a small number of traditionals still exist in the U.S. No, I don't think so. They might be referring to the non-seedliners who don't believe that Eve had sex with Shaitan. But they still consider Jews to be evil. I'm not aware of anybody in identity who considers Jews to be salvageable. Okay, because the Bible clearly says they won't be salvaged. Okay, so
they're not salvageable in any aspect.
Right, and so now, in fact, British Israelism itself had several Jewish members, and I'm sure if it did, it was so that these Jews could direct the direction it went into.
That's what they do, brother.
Yeah,
I'll tell a quick story. I grew up in the Midwest, and my parents had money, and we belonged to a private country club. That's where I learned to play golf and tennis. And they had probably an unwritten rule at the club. No blacks can be members and no Jews. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty much written in stone. And, you know, as a young guy, I didn't really understand it. But looking back now, it's perfectly clear.
Yes.
Because once you allow even a couple, two, three Jews into your organization, they literally infect it like a disease. And they take over, they network, they somehow a Jew becomes
an administrator. They hire blacks, right? And Mexicans, you know, and squeeze the whites out, and pretty soon there's no whites left in the country club.
Oh. Yeah, 20 years later, it's a club full of Jews.
Yeah, right.
But I grew up in a white club enclave, Jews. And Yahweh was providential looking back. I didn't see it at the time.
Yes.
I used to ask my dad, Dad, why won't they allow Jews in? And he couldn't really adequately explain it to me. And I was like, yeah, whatever. They must have something about them. I knew they loved money and everything. And that was obvious. But looking with my knowledge now, I realized you let a couple Jews in, it's over.
Yeah.
The club is gone in 15 years. And now it's all Jews.
Yeah.
Because when a Jew gets in, he has his innate hatred for the white race. He'll do everything possible to, harm the white race and open the floodgates for other Jews to come in and take over.
Yeah, as they did to Spain, as they did to Italy, as they did to Germany, as they're doing to America and Britain, right?
They're hardwired to do it. They can do nothing else. They're little Terminator robots with hooked noses and sloped foreheads.
Yep.
They're just...
Ferengi.
it's Genesis 3:15.
Right.
The enmity is hardwired into them.
That's right. That's right.
They can do nothing else. They're genetically programmed to hate us.
Right.
It's incredible.
Well, okay. So he says Christian identity can be traced back to 1886 with the publication of the book Lost Israel Found in the Anglo-Saxon Race by E.P. Ingersoll. I'm afraid I don't have that book. Somehow that passed me by. But let's call it the formal institution in published in America, or I'm not sure because I haven't heard of this book. But
yeah,
in any
I'm not
case,
sure either.
Yeah, but let's say the official position that we, the Aryans, are the Israelites and the Shemites and the Hebrews of the Bible and the Jews are imposters. That definitely, as a public statement. Can be traced to America, not to Britain. That's for sure. Okay, all right.
Well, you know, the Jews love to think, Christian identity. It showed up in the mid to late 1800s. I would argue that Christian identity began when Genesis 3:15 was uttered.
Oh yeah, for sure. Right.
That was the beginning of Christian identity, when Yahweh you know, after the serpent, which was a fallen angel, probably in the form of Eve. We've seen this through the book of Enoch and the other books. Jubilees actually makes it quite clear. The serpent appeared to Eve in the form of Adam. He deceived her. He beguiled her. He seduced her.
Right.
She didn't decide to have sex with some funky-looking reptilian creature. The creature likely took the form of her husband. Sex had really not been introduced yet into our peoples. And he seduced her and impregnated her. And Yahweh pronounced judgment on both races and described the enmity between them, the hatred. That, to me, is the true beginning of Christian identity. Whatever year you want to ascribe to that event, I personally believe somewhere around 6,000 years ago. But, you know, that's just, I don't know. That's my own opinion. Christian identity has been here since the Garden of Eden event.
Oh, for sure.
Now, the realization of it has come and gone because our people are prone to forget and fall into sin, and Yahweh judges us.
Jews never forget.
They never forget.
That's right.
We forget. They help us to forget. They mislead us.
Right.
But they never forget. I believe the Rothschilds, personally, I believe they have their bloodline traced back to Cain.
Oh, yeah.
I'll bet
you
they know every single Jew that has procreated with whatever female. And I think their bloodlines are probably written down in goy blood back to the garden.
That's right. They talk about Howard B. Rand. Rand was a Massachusetts lawyer who obtained a law degree at the University of Maine, kind of like Bertrand Comparé, also was a lawyer. He was
an excellent writer.
His
writings are outstanding.
Yeah, Rand is a tremendous writer. He was raised as a British Israelite, and his father introduced him to J.H. Allen's work, Judah's Scepter and Joseph's Birthright, at an early age. While Rand's father was not an anti-Edomite, nor was Rand in his early British Israelite years. Rand first added an anti-Edomite element to the British Israelism in the 1920s. He claimed as early as 1924 that the Jews were not really descended from the tribe of Judah, but were instead descendants of Esau or the Canaanites. However, Rand never claimed that modern Jews were descendants of Satan, or that they were in any way inferior. Well, he was not a two-seedliner. But I don't think he considered Jews to be the equals of white Christians. I think he knew more than that. So, anyway, he just claimed that they were not the true lineal descendants of Judah, and that's correct. For this reason, Rand is considered a transitional figure from British Israelism to Christian identity, but not its actual founder. Okay?
That's right, brother. He began to see some real truth.
Yeah.
Did he see as much as we see now? Probably not. But if you put us back in his time, would we have seen it so clearly? No.
Yeah.
You know, our past and our history was somewhat hidden from us, taken away for a time in judgment because our people rebelled against Yahweh and keeping his law. And I look back at people like Comparé and Wesley Swift, and I listen to them, and they'll say things, and I realize, well, you didn't quite see that right, brother, but given the time and the era that you were in, you were the man. You saw so much that I see mostly what I see now based on what you saw. And I don't like to use the term evolves, but it was transitional, like the Jews said. They began to see a thing, and other brothers saw it and built upon it, and the theology began to come together. And, you know, now we realize who the Jews are. Interesting? Martin Luther, if you read his writings, he did not have a clear-cut view that Jews were a seed line of Satan
so much.
He saw that they were evil, that they were behind such evil practices. But I don't think he saw that they were the spawn of a fallen angel seducing Eve. But he was halfway to it. And if you threw me back
I'd say he was nine-tenths. He was nine-tenths there.
If you threw me back in his time, unless I was sure I wouldn't have
You
seen
would have
anything.
Gone all the way.
I wouldn't have seen anything.
Yeah.
No. I mean, what we see today, we stand on the shoulders of these brothers that saw a little bit, and we took it another step. Yeah. That's how I view it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've always been merciful to unveil to us many truths, racial truths. And now we see the truth of race. And to me, I can boil Christian identity down into a few sentences. If someone says, Greg, what is Christian identity? I almost answer a question with a question. I go, well, let me ask you, who are the Israelites in the Bible? Mm-hmm. Because that is the people that all the blessings of the creator of the universe have been promised to. Whoever that group is, you better hope you're in that group. Yes. So who is that group? And then I go, right? Is that group the Jews, the pornographers, the ones behind all the evil, the ones that stole the strip of land in Palestine?
Yep.
Do you believe that they are the ancient Israelites, the continuation? And if they say no, then I go, okay, then who is?
Yeah.
Because whoever that group is, that's the group you better be in. And I go, it can only be one group. Mm-hmm. Is there another race besides the white race that could possibly be that group? Not a chance in a billion. Mm-hmm. It's obviously the white race is the continuation of ancient Israel.
Amen.
We are Israel on the earth today, the true Israelites. None of this spiritual Israel, none of this say a quick prayer to Jesus and you become an Israelite. That's all nonsense. Forget about that. The racial truth that race is more important than you ever, ever, ever thought it could be. If you're not born into the white race, salvation, is you have no chance for it. That's the true meaning in John when Yahshua Christ was talking with Nicodemus. He said, unless a man is born in the Greek from above, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. He wasn't saying born again. That's a Jewish twisted theological nonsense.
Twisted theology. Right. Twisted
theology. Which, of course, I was taught in Bible college, and it took me a while to get over it. But I realize now he's basically saying this. If you are not born into the white race, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. That's what he was saying to Nicodemus.
No doubt.
If you're not born a white man, forget about it. It ain't going to happen for you.
Yeah, right.
You're not
in the bloodline.
White races,
you're not
born from above.
Yep.
The other races, no.
That's right. That's right. Okay, an interesting statement here. Rand is known as the first person to coin the term Christian identity. Rand had set up the Anglo-Saxon Federation of America in 1933, which promoted his view that Jews were not descended from Judah. This marked the very first key transition from British Israelism to Christian identity. However, I think they're missing something. I think they're missing Henry Ford and who was his secretary? Can't think of his name right now. But when he was writing the Dearborn Independent, the guy who was one of his editors, Cameron, William Cameron, they in Henry Ford's The international Jew, Henry Ford, through Cameron being his editor, states that Jews aren't the Israelites and that we Aryans are the Israelites. So, and this is a good 13 years, I forget what year international Jew was published. It's a compilation of articles that were in the Dearborn Independent. So it was compiled over a number of years. Okay.
Yep.
But then, at the same time, Henry Ford would put a copy of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion in the back seat of every Model A Ford that came off the assembly line. Okay? So, he was sharp. Henry Ford was even sharper than Rand, okay, to do
Henry
that.
Henry Ford saw a lot, no doubt about it.
Right. Well, he dealt with him personally. Yeah,
I'm convinced that the apology that he eventually gave to the Jews was a total forgery.
It's fake.
It's got to be fake. He's one of the few guys that I trust would never have said, "Oh, I was all wrong. I should have never said all those things."
No,
not a chance.
Yeah, it was all forged. The guy who signed that document forged his signature.
Yeah,
and he, I think he was even at that point an ex-employee. So, he did not. He never retracted his statement about the Jews. Never.
No way.
Okay. Yeah.
And so hang out with Henry one of these days.
Right. Yeah, there you go. Right. Yeah. So, but probably nevertheless.
Yeah.
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 But Rand and Ford and William Cameron in the 20s and 30s were the leading lights of Christian identity. And then he names William Dudley Pelley, founder of the clerical fascist Silver Shirts, and also promoted a form of anti... Now, was that in Britain? William Dudley Pelley? A form of British Israelism in the early 1930s. I'm not sure if he was an American or a Brit. Links between Christian identity and the Ku Klux Klan also emerged in the late 30s. That's correct. Although the KKK was past the peak of its early 20th century revival. But, nevertheless, the Klan has always been Christian and always been racially segregated.
Okay? Always. And you know, brother, I'll tell you what. If I lived 50 years ago, I'd have absolutely been a Klan guy.
Yeah.
You know, if the Klan wasn't so infiltrated now by feds, I'd still be in the Klan. But, I'm not even saying we're past what the Klan is. Maybe we've evolved a little bit into, but I have massive respect for true Klansmen. Yeah. You know, I mean, their beliefs are basically our beliefs.
That's right.
Our race as Yahweh's race on the earth, and such individuals to me are my brethren.
Whenever they do a cross lighting, they light it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
So there's another group that's white separatist and Christian.
Well, plus they kept those wild darkies in line.
That's right.
I mean,
that's right.
You know, the darkies would keep in line, knowing what was coming if they didn't.
Right. Oh, just quickly.
We could absolutely
here,
use that now.
Yeah. Just quickly here, we have a couple of minutes left. Wesley Swift is considered by the FBI to have been the most significant figure in the early years of Christian identity movement. I would say he was the one who popularized it the most. Okay. So he's somewhere in the line here of Pelley and Rand and Ford and Cameron. Okay. And there are a few others in between here. I think they're forgetting a couple of ministers that came in between.
Yeah, no doubt there was.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. But by and large, the statements made here are accurate. It's just that they take for granted the reader's false ideas that anti-Semitism means anti-Jewish. No, because the Jews aren't Shemites. And basically, the Judeo worldview is taken for granted in all these comments. And so someone who's never heard of Christian identity would either be shocked if they're a Judeo-Christian, or if they're pro-white, they say, "Oh, right. Hey, I like this religion." Right? So
it's clear enough our people are waking up.
Yes.
It's some slower, they're faster than others, but our people are beginning to realize there is something to being white, and the other races clearly do not like us. And there's this one particular race that seems to hate us.
Yes.
And more it's becoming known who they are.
Yes. All right. We've reached the end of today's show. It flew by like crazy. So was a week. It was like yesterday we did the first episode of the show. But, folks, thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. This has been Amen. Yahweh's Covenant People for January 20th, 2017. Brother Greg, good show.
Praise Yahweh, Eli.
Okay.
Thanks for having me on, brother.
Yes.
I love you.
All right,
yeah,
love you too, brother. Love all you white people out there. Stay true.
I love
to your
everyone
race.
In my race.
Yeah,
I
man.
Love all stay, my white brothers and sisters. Praise
stay
Yahweh.
True to your race and stay out of black neighborhoods and Jewish neighborhoods. See you next time. Bye bye.
Yahweh bless. Amen.
Bless.